So as we continue our series on the Apostle Paul's letter to the Roman church, remember that last week Paul told us that he was not ashamed of the gospel. And after that, Paul begins walking down this path. If you've read ahead, Paul begins walking down this path of God's wrath, God's judgment. And I kind of have to laugh to myself because here this Roman church has never seen Paul. He's never preached for them. This letter is almost an introductory letter of himself to them. And in the second chapter, he's talking about God's wrath and God's judgment, etc. I'm just thinking I probably wouldn't begin a letter like that in this day and age, right? But he talks about God's wrath, God's judgment, Jews and the law, and then he ends this section with God's faithfulness. Now, Paul's ultimate point, to my understanding, is the fact that through the birth, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, God is faithful to the promise that he made with Abraham. So, the Apostle Paul is reaching clear back to the very beginning of the Jewish journey, right? To Abraham. And saying that God, through that whole time up until now, has been faithful to the covenant promise that he made with Abraham. God is righteous, and righteousness comes by faith rather than birth. Stick with me. You'll understand. You see, before Jesus, salvation came through birth because Jews were the chosen race. And Jesus, therefore, opened the way that salvation is available to all humanity. It wasn't based on race. It wasn't based on the fact that you've had a circumcision. It wasn't based on the fact that you were married if you were a woman to a Jewish man. It was totally, based on Jesus. Jesus opened the way so that salvation is available to all. If a human being of whatever race or whatever background can stand before God on the basis of having trusted his purposes in Christ, then salvation is now open to anyone, to any who will trust God, the true righteous God. See, in other words, it doesn't matter not only what your birthright is, it doesn't matter what you've done, because Jesus has broken down all of these barriers that we have or that we believe we have in our life. So just imagine the good news in this for the rest of the world. What was once limited to a Jewish nation is now open to all. Literally, all. And this is why Paul is not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ and why the gospel must be brought to all people of every race and every culture, because with God's act in Christ, all former boundaries have been removed. Now, we're sitting here thinking, well, yeah, okay, right? But let's think about this for a minute. Paul is writing to a people who have been outcasts. That's all they have known. Even the Jews, if they really thought about it and got on their knees and prayed about it, realize that nothing that they can do, because Paul was a Jew, right? Nothing they can do can bring salvation to themselves. It is truly what Jesus has done, what God has done through Jesus on the cross. So those that had existed between Jews and Gentiles, the boundaries that existed between Jews and Gentiles, as well as those that had stood between sinful humanity and righteous God, our righteous God, they are all shattered. Paul is saying that it is no longer our task to remove these boundaries or these impediments that are in our way between God and people. God has done that. God has done that. Our task is only to accept the good news, as Dana mentioned earlier. Our task is to accept the good news, and those boundaries have been removed, and that our way to righteousness and merciful God is no longer barred by race. So our way of living a righteous life, our way, there is no bars, there is no barriers between us and a righteous God anymore, because God has taken care of that through Jesus Christ. You see, it is Paul's good news that God has remained true to his promise to provide through Abraham a blessing to all humanity. He has done it in Christ, who was the seed of Abraham and was the seed of David. God remained true and faithful to his covenant word and brought righteousness to all, brought salvation to all of humanity. Now, that's awesome. Here's the catch. According to Paul, it begins in verse 19. So I invite you to grab your Bibles and look with me if you would. Verse 19 of chapter 1 of Romans. Paul says, verse 19, "For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them." Now think about that. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. Ever since, verse 20, ever since the creation of the world, his eternal power and divine nature, invisible though they are, have been understood and seen through the things he has made, so they are without excuse. What in the world does Paul mean about that? How has God shown it to them? How has God made it evident to all of us? How has God made it plain to see? You see, we have to be careful, because what is the next thing that Paul says? They are what? Without excuse. So what is it that God has made plain to them? What is the evidence that is all around us? You know, many times we lose track of the evidence that's around us, don't we? I mean, it can be life is great, like I was talking about earlier. Sometimes our freedom gets in the way, doesn't it? Or unless you have, a breathing issue, like, one's not even coming to my mind right now, but if you have a breathing issue, maybe you don't, you probably don't even think about the air unless you have issues, right? I mean, how many times have I breathed since I woke up and I haven't even thought a thing about it, right? I mean, God's blessings are there. God's evidence is there without even thinking about it. How many times does God or Christ or Jesus or through the church, does all of that become less important to whatever is going on in our lives as well? So, you know, it could be so evident that we miss it, or it might just be that it's no longer a priority in our lives, right? I was telling First Service that this week is the same, but last week we had a basketball game in Versailles and a basketball game. David moved around as far as basketball is concerned. Every night we had two basketball games. What in the world? I mean, next week, David, praise God, is up for his Eagle Board of Review, right? And Kevin and I can't even find a day for that to happen. Life sometimes just gets in the way, doesn't it? We think it's all good stuff, right? But life gets in the way when God is no longer the priority in our life. It's amazing. We do, we try to do devotions before we go to bed at night. And it's amazing how many times I wake up at 4 in the morning and go, how did I forget that? Right? Life can get in the way. So sometimes it's just so obvious that we miss it. Sometimes it is, other things take priority. Sometimes bad things happen in our life, don't they? And it's at those moments when we actually really need God that we tend to say, where are you? Why are you not around? The heavens proclaim the glory of God. Did you see that? I mean, those billions and billions of stars, and then they pull, that's from the Hubble telescope. It is the biggest picture that they have ever put together. I think 411 separate pictures of tens of thousands of pixels, maybe even millions of pixels, I don't know. But anyway, put together. And that whole sky of stars, and then they pulled it into the Andromeda Galaxy, right? And then the stars were so thick that, I mean, the heavens proclaim the glory of God. Amen? You see, evidence is all around us. And if you're thinking, okay, Eric, you're kind of a spacey guy, well, the evidence is all around us. You know what's amazing to me? Is about 10 months prior to these pictures, that infant was a few genes that came together. And 9 or 10 months later, actually, I think like 3 weeks, something like that, the heart's already beaten, right? And 9 or 10 months later, you have fingers, you have toes, you have a nose, lips, mouth, eyes. I mean, look at that. And you know, the evidence is all around us. And you know, the amazing thing is that it doesn't go wrong more often. Right? I mean, most of the time, it comes together just right. Amen? The evidence is all around us. You know, yesterday I was working around the house and I heard this something above my head, and I looked up, and I swear it wasn't more than 20 feet above my head, a bald eagle flew over my head. Now, for some of you, that may not be that big a deal, but for me, man, every time I could see 1,000 bald eagles, and I'm like, oh, praise God, they're such a majestic bird. The evidence is all around it. Around us. We just need to stop and notice. You know, probably the biggest gift that God has given us as far as evidence that is all around us is relationships. Love between one and another. I mean, it's whether it's man and wife, whether it is parent-child, whether it is like phileo love, brotherly love. That is probably one of the most and greatest gifts that we can spend our lives together and love and support and pray for and care, lift up. Amen. The hard thing is whenever we exchange God's love and grace, God's righteousness for the creature instead of the created, instead of the creator. That amazing relationship, the love, that evidence that God gives us sometimes gets all messed up, doesn't it? Ignoring the clear evidences of God's lordship, human beings choose for ourselves other lords, so to speak, many times, don't we? We come to resemble what we give our devotion to, whether it's money or sex or another person, sports, negative thinking, selfishness. Our goals are set with no final regard for the will of the true God expressed in Christ Jesus. Is it any wonder that we become less than we as human beings made in God's image ought to be? Folks, we are free in Christ to accept the Creator the evidence is all around us. And this is why the gospel is so important to Paul and why it should be so important to us. God has broken down the barriers that divide us at the cross. Maybe some of you have lost focus. Maybe you gave your life to Christ a long time ago and you have allowed other gods to have a higher priority in your life. Small g gods. Come back to God in Christ today. Amen. Maybe you've never taken the opportunity to make God through Christ first and foremost in your life. Today is that day. Don't wait. The evidence is all around us. Don't miss it. Don't be less human than God created you to be. Put your Creator God first in your life. Make Jesus the Lord and leader of your life and actually live your life as if He is the priority. The evidence is all around us. Let's pray. Holy God, we thank You. We thank You that Your evidence is all around us. It is so easy to take it for granted, God, and we ask for Your forgiveness. It is so easy to let life get in the way, and we ask for Your forgiveness. It is so easy to make other things a priority, and we ask Your forgiveness, God, because the evidence is all around us. Give us courage, Lord. Give us courage to keep You central in our life. Give us joy so that the example that we have for others is like a magnet to them. Help us, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.